5208 Media. My name is Robbie DeShazer, and you're listening to Tap Heads. Back in 2019, I started introducing my best friends, Carter and Wendy, to the wide and wonderful world of craft beer. Since then, we've tried tons of different brews from all over the world. But then we had an idea. What if instead of limiting ourselves to just beer, we opened the floodgates and tried all the great drinks the world had to offer? So now we're diving into the world of wine, whiskey, tequila, cocktails, and yeah, still drinking beer. Basically, if it's found behind the bar, we want to talk about it. Because after all, the best part of drinking isn't what's in your cup. It's the people you share it with.
You drink with.
This is Tap Heads.
It's Tap Heads.
This.
I didn't realize you guys were talking, and I unmuted us, but it's okay.
No, it's fine. It was, we could hear the opening, and so we were trying to say it at the same time. What's this in my hat?
You have a hat? I can't see your hat right now.
Is that another hat in your hat?
It's a Santa hat. If you can't tell from some of the stiltedness, we're remote. We're quarantining before the holidays.
Yes,
but this is Tap Heads, and we wanted to drink together. So, welcome to Tap Heads.
If it were a different year, it would be the holidays. But you know,
can't be a
we're all at home.
Can't holiday right now.
Yeah, can't be a hoe in a pandemic.
True.
Well, I mean, you can, but
I mean,
true. I just
you can hoe at home.
Downloaded Bumble.
Exactly.
We're gonna try. We'll see.
You hoe at home.
Hoe with your roommates.
You ho home.
So,
for the holidays.
I mean, Wendy and I both have roommates that are of the opposite, that are of our preferred
Ooh.
Gender.
You know. Hey, preferred, you're right, all right. I mean, anything can happen with Clarter, so.
Yeah, Clarter, anything can happen.
I feel more like, you know that episode of It's Always Sunny with where Dennis and Mac live in the house together?
Yes. Is that what
like
it is?
I feel like it's more like that than anything.
Are you making mac and cheese?
No.
Every night?
If someone else might be trying to.
It's mainly a lot of television. And then, you know, you want to watch a movie? No. Do you want to watch this movie? No.
That's cute. That's cute. You guys are growing old together.
Pretty much.
No. Welcome to Tap Heads. So.
Yeah.
The last time we recorded.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm Robbie. On the screen to my right, what I can see on my right, is the one and only Carter Spilliards.
That's me, Carter Spilliards.
At CA Spilliards on Twitter.
That is correct.
And then below both of us, though above us in spirit, is Wendy with a W. What is up, Wendy?
That's me. I took some screenshots.
You
took
some
look how adorable we are.
This is
but
good.
But don't notice my bedroom messy.
You can tweet these screenshots, Wendy. You got
that's true.
Wendy has like, access to the Twitter. And,
I don't use it enough.
You can see my fridge.
Yeah,
with my wine bottles up there.
Yeah. I can kind of see. Your
oh,
wine
guys,
bottles, yeah.
And my tagine.
Last week, we had a send off, a virtual send off for one of my coworkers' friend, and. At the end, I moved my camera a bit, and I didn't realize that on the floor there was a pack of toilet paper. So everyone saw I had toilet paper.
Everyone knows you.
Background.
Everyone knows you poop now.
Everyone knows I wipe.
You wipe. Oh, but
yeah,
wipe what? Because maybe you don't poop.
It's but true. You got it just in case. It's more for the guests.
Just in case I poop one day. Just
it could happen any day now.
I'm big still waiting
dreams,
for
big goals.
First, still waiting for my
me.
First time.
Oh man!
No,
this is Tap Heads.
This is Tap Heads. It's a show.
Less than 10 minutes in, already talking about poop.
I have. Is
don't
this,
get me started.
Do we don't often talk about poop. I don't think
that's true.
Is this the We're first time we breached
talk,
poop?
It's
on,
a Christmas miracle.
Have we breached
I talk
poop
a lot
on
about
any
poop
show,
and Jackie?
You do.
Yeah,
well,
Jackie
yours.
And I talk a lot about poop.
This isn't you and Jackie's show. This is our family show.
Oh,
our show for
families. Family. You're right. Periods are important, you know, to any normal family. They have to know about the menstrual cycle.
Look, if the Barefoot Contessa can drink that much on her show for families, why can't we drink this much on ours?
That's a good point.
That is a good point. I feel like anything the Barefoot Contessa does,
we could, I mean, including developing nuclear strategy,
we can also do.
Yeah, that's right. The Barefoot Contessa did develop the U.S.'s nuclear strategy in the 80s.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so
we can do that too. I'm learning a lot today.
That being said, this episode, because we're separated, we did this kind of in an interesting way. I gave Carter and Wendy their Christmas presents a little bit early, and their Christmas presents just so happened to be drinkable. So some potable Christmas
presents. I
love it. So do you guys want to go ahead and open them? I mean, that's...
Well, do we real quick want to talk about something we've had to drink?
Oh, yeah, sure. We can talk about that. What has everyone been drinking since our bourbon episode?
I'm trying to keep the Tap Heads tradition alive.
You are, and you're doing a very good job of it.
Thank you.
I'll be honest, I've had a long day, and I can't even think about what all is going on, so...
I can't think of anything new. I think... the last new drink that I can think of is the Community IPA. And I don't know if I talked about that last time. I can't remember the last time I bought beer at a store. I had the Convict Hills oatmeal stout. Always good.
Always very good. Since our last episode, spent some time, in Florida with some family members at a condo on the beach where we were very safe and everything like that. I feel like I have to say that because of the times, but we tried our best to be very safe. Everyone's feeling good still. No one's got sick or anything, so I think mission accomplished. But because I was out on the East Coast, I do what I normally do when I'm out anywhere in the Midwest or the East Coast, which is I drink a lot of Yingling because it's not available here. Love me some Yingling. Their original amber lager is fantastic. Other than that, High Five IPA from Fort Myers Brewing Company was also another one I had. And then I've been working my way through some bourbons and scotches and stuff. I tried a new scotch the other day.
Oh, no.
I drank some, what is it? It's the Glenmorangie 12-year La Santa. So it's a double cask 12-year scotch from the Highland regions. So, very good.
Cool.
That's actually similar to the Balvini Doublewood, which Carter and I both like. It's got a little bit more of a spiciness to it than the Balvini, but I really like it.
Excellent.
Cool.
And then I've got some stuff I'm excited to try tonight. So,
Yeah, I had haven't drank too much. Let's see. I had a bottle of wine last night.
A whole bottle?
Not a whole bottle. I have, I don't know, a quarter of a bottle left. But it was the Ranieri Invetro. It's a Tuscan red blend.
Ooh.
It was Total Wine's number one wine of 2020.
Okay.
I disagree, but...
Oh.
It was good. Like, it wasn't, and for the price point, it's only like $18 a bottle.
That's not bad.
So quite affordable. It's very dry, which I liked, and flavorful. But it ultimately, I don't know, it was like weirdly tart. It could have been the bottle. I'm not sure. It's also one of those that has like a glass cork, which I don't know if that seals it in quite right, but it was kind of frustrating to remove, which also did not enhance the experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't as full bodied as I would have preferred. But it made a nice pairing with my spaghetti.
Sometimes that's all you could ask for.
Yeah. So it was good. It was tasty.
Yeah. all right. Well, like I said, I made these people gift bags and I gave myself some stuff to drink too. I guess housekeeping type stuff before we start. Everyone got two beers and a spirit. One of the beers we all got. We're all going to try together. Everyone else got a separate beer that's a special beer for them. And then everyone's spirit is different too. So,
whoa. I hope mine is the Christmas spirit.
It is. We're all drinking in the Christmas spirit right now.
It's the spirit of Christmas.
You know, the Christmas AKA spirit on March 608th.
AKA cheap tequila. That's what I'm hoping for.
Not quite cheap tequila. But
like Carter, and for you, a bottle of Saza.
Carter, I got you a bucket of piss.
Fermented.
You look like the piss
boy. Merry Christmas. Oh no. I don't want to be the piss boy.
Piss boy. Do let me know if you lose me. People listening, please be a little understanding because I have awful internet and I feel like I'm going in and out. So
just go tell everyone in the house to get off the internet.
That, or if you need to stop your video for a bit.
So that way else you still have the other two.
Yeah. You could stop your video too. That might help you out just a little bit.
Ooh, whack.
What? Oh, she's gone.
Oh.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you still. Yeah.
Wait. Okay, good. Now you had to look at the picture of my dead Minecraft horse.
Rip Trusty.
Oh.
Rip Trusty.
I remember that funeral.
And the following trial.
Yeah.
That was so,
both of them.
Yeah. So what we're going to do first, I think, is everyone's going to try their different beer.
Okay, are we opening?
Sure. Actually, yeah. Carter, go ahead and open yours first.
Okay.
And you can show us all three things, and then we'll...
The appropriate ASMR.
Yes. So these came in paper. Santa gift bags with some tissue paper in them, because I'm horrible at wrapping gifts, and also...
Okay.
Why would I full-on wrap?
Ooh. What have I got here?
That's a good one.
Let me get some sound on the mic.
Are you done, Wendy?
I did. I wanted to make some sound effects.
Am I supposed to say what it is?
Yeah, say what it is.
Okay. So we have a Lafin Dumont.
Wait, the canned one?
No. Belgian-style triple.
That's his bottle.
Oh, we're doing the unique ones. Okay.
So Carter's going to open his all, and then you'll open yours, and then I'll show you what I have.
Okay.
Are we doing all of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have Lafin Dumont, which is a Belgian triple from Unibrew in Canada. It's one of my favorite beers. It's one I think you'll like quite a bit. Ooh,
it looks up my alley. And then we've got a Blue Owl Brewing Company Teeny Hopper.
And that's the one we all have.
Sour Session.
It's the one we all have right here. It's this Teeny Hopper Grapefruit IPA.
She's so cute. I love Blue Owl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a
frosted bottle. Ooh.
I thought we were going to go beers. Individual special beers, and then the together.
Yeah, we'll drink them and
drink them in order, but we can just reveal them.
We're just opening and revealing
now as we open them.
I'm just a fan of drama.
I love this bag. Should I wait to reveal the spirit?
No, you can reveal your spirit. You're looking at it.
For the spirit?
I know, but
why lie to the people?
What? It's the Casamigos Mezcal.
The Joven Mezcal.
Ooh!
Have you tried this before?
I have not.
Okay, good.
Exciting.
I was like, this. I'm
very excited to try it.
Because we've got a Casamigos bit that we just enjoy, you know.
Thank you so much, Robbie.
About Casamigos. And I was like, here's something I don't think you've tried. So, Wendy, let's go ahead and reveal, I guess, your special beer, because we know we all have the Teeny Hopper. But if you want to talk about it and talk about being excited to try the Teeny Hopper.
One sec. Yeah, I love Blue Owl, so I'm very excited.
Yes.
I hope you don't lose me.
You know, you're good. You sound fine.
One sec. I was trying to... All right. So, as Robbie said, I have the Teeny Hopper. Then, what do I have?
This one's just for you. It's special. Oh.
Yeah, Newton.
Wait, say that again. You went out.
That's from The Lost Him.
You went out.
I wanted to. I don't know if I should record on my phone, my audio.
You're fine. It's
the woes of internet recording.
Yeah. If we just tell you to repeat something, just repeat it. But
sure. But anyways, North Coast. I have a North Coast Old Rasputin bottle. Thank you, Robbie. We had this on our Lost episode. I keep telling him how much I love it. I think I've said it a couple times on the show, how much I want to have it again.
She left again. She's gone.
Oh, no.
I guess when I drink this, Robbie can share a little more about Russian and Imperial Stouts.
Yeah.
And then I have a bottle of Maker's Mark 46. Cool.
So
this is.
Yeah, I'll give you more information on that when it's time to drink the spirit. But it's. I thought you might like
it. Yeah. I'm excited. Oh, this is. I love all these. Oh, thank you.
All right. And then for my three, like we all have the Teeny Hopper here. I tried to give myself three things that I hadn't tried before as well. So I grabbed this bottle here. It's actually a bottle I've always wanted to try. It's this Delirium Tremens. They're a Belgian. It's a Belgian pale ale. The bottle is crazy. It's like stone. It's like painted.
Is it like opaque? Yeah, that's what it looked like.
So it's,
okay, that's good to know that it's the bottle, not the liquid. I thought that looks like green puke, gross. I don't know.
Well, because I can't see what's in here, I've always been scared to try it. So I was like, you know what? This is an excuse to try a bottle. And I know it's very popular with
you don't have to worry about it skunking.
Yeah, you really don't. And then I didn't buy this for myself with the rest of it, but I've been waiting to try this for the episode. This is a Heaven Hill bottled and bond bourbon whiskey aged 7 years. This is a kind of a grail bourbon, and I got a full bottle, so we'll all be able to sample it when we can be together again. So, but I figured I'd open it tonight when we do our spirit section.
Very exciting.
All right.
Thank you again, Robbie.
Thank you. Thank you guys for being such good friends. Do we want to drink our Teeny Hopper first?
Sure.
Yeah, so we all get our own full glass, which is fun. So we're gonna be very.
Should I pour it in a glass or drink it out of the can?
I mean, I'm gonna pour mine in a glass so that we can see the color and stuff like that.
Ah, you're right. Let me get a glass. Hold on.
All right, Wendy, you still there? Oh, Wendy, I think Wendy is gone. Wendy, she dead. She's gone. For good. Hey, we're back. So
I'm glad I can see you guys.
Wendy's in a new location. She's a lot more fluid in her movements on the camera. She sounds great. She looks great.
Actually, 3 days later.
She made Carter look worse.
Ooh, that's really good to hear.
So when we left off, Carter and I had already poured our drinks. And honestly, I mean, we could do the full taste and look at it, smell it, taste it.
Yeah.
But Carter and I have kind of already done it. But look-wise, I mean, it looks like most of the Blue Owl lineup, you know.
Yeah.
Especially other IPAs. It's got kind of a pinkish hue.
Yeah, I love the pinkish hue from the grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Robbie about this on the break. Mm-hmm. But I love how like delicate the grapefruit is, because sometimes they add grapefruit to something like in a beer or any kind of cocktail or anything like that, it can get real overpowering.
Yeah.
Unless they're straight up using juice. Like
super bitter.
I love the grapefruit a lot in this.
It's real tasty in this, yeah.
I really agree. Grapefruit's really good at shiny when it's like in a carbonated drink, you know, which obviously like cocktails, beer, and I like it a lot in this beer paired with the hops. You know, grapefruit's really sweet, so I wasn't sure how that was going to be. But it's, I think it just makes it taste a bit more crisp and a nice sweetness to it. It's good. It's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so the can actually says It's a seasonal beer that uses grapefruit juice and peel. So that's how mm-hmm. you get some of the added bitterness, but also, it, mm-hmm. like Carter said, that delicateness. If I didn't yeah. say it already, it's looks like it's 4.0% alcohol by volume, 58 mm-hmm. IBUs.
It's really good because you do get grapefruit does have a slight bitterness to it, but I think it just really makes this beer really like I keep saying great, but it is really good.
Yeah.
Which grapefruit makes sense, I guess, for doing a sour beer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And grapefruit works really well with IPAs anyway. But mm-hmm. like, I mean, I'm already a big fan of Blue Owl's their Spirit mm-hmm. Animal. Their IPA is particularly good, but mm-hmm. I think this is a nice change of pace. I like that they went session. I like that mm-hmm. they went grapefruit, you know, it's something a little bit different. Yeah. You know, and it's nice that it's seasonal. I don't know if I'd want to see this year round,
mm-hmm.
but I do like, and I don't know if, have you guys noticed that more grapefruit beers show up around Christmas time, around the winter? I think,
I've noticed in the fall.
I know St. Arnold last year did a winter IPA that had grapefruit in it as well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's when they're harvested.
Is that when it is? I really wasn't sure.
I'm not.
That would make a lot of sense. Check. But
well, I think
it's really good.
I think it's like, hold on.
This is making me burp. Real quick, I don't know if you guys have talked can art.
Not really.
Yeah. So
I do like can this art, can though.
It's so at least cute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, so Texas grapefruits are available October through June.
That makes sense.
It would make sense if they're in harvest from October through June that they're then added to the
winter
mix to be released in the winter. Yeah.
Winter and mm-hmm. spring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like the last of them, usually like grapefruit Sculpin, which is one mm-hmm. of the big ones, honestly, is mm-hmm. like a May-ish release, I think, typically is mm-hmm. when we get them out here. But yeah.
I love the can. It's so cute that the title, the text of it is in like the little 70s motel.
Yeah.
Diner, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of 50s-y. Sock hop.
50s?
Yeah.
That, yeah.
The teeny boppers. I couldn't think of
the right word. Yeah, it's cute and has like almost like vinyls with grapefruit at the bottom. Yeah,
little jukebox.
Like a jukebox. Yeah.
Yeah, little jukeboxes. I like
jukeboxes, or it's like tires with hubcaps. Kind mm-hmm. of like the grapefruits are the hubcaps.
Yeah.
It's real, like, detailed for being such a small part of the can.
Yeah. Here. Maggie, come here.
Real quick, Robbie, with IPAs, what are their ABVs generally?
They're generally in the 6.5 to, like, 7-8%.
Mm-hmm.
And then a session IPA is, like, a session drink in general is usually pretty lower.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie just tried mine. We can still share drinks because we kiss each other. So
way to brag, Carter.
Maggie thinks dramatic. It's too bitter grapefruit, but this has also been out for a while. So
yeah, it's a little, mine's a little warm, but I think it's still so good. You know, like, that's the thing about grapefruit is that it is sweet and you do have a slight bitterness to it, which actually goes well with the IPA. Like, those two fit. But I think it makes sense in a sour. I love it. I love it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maggie, what do you think? For a sour IPA, is it drinkable? Maggie says very drinkable. And I just chugged the rest of it. So it's definitely
good.
Drinkable.
It's good. Mm-hmm. Even warm, it was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will definitely be picking up a 6-pack of these.
Yeah, agree.
They've also got their Jubilee Berry or whatever it is that they do
in the holiday winter one?
Yeah.
That's also out right now, and I almost grabbed a 6-pack of that.
If mm-hmm. I remember correctly, Wendy and I did not like the Jubilee Berry that much.
The cranberry one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I don't think we loved it.
It's the one in like the bluish with the snowflakes.
I remember you guys were really, you were really excited to try it, Carter.
I was super excited because I love like cranberry and mm-hmm. like Christmassy drinks, and it just was kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I like cranberry a lot. Like,
I love cranberry. I drink cranberry juice like nobody's business.
Yeah.
I think we should do an episode where we revisit some beers. I don't know. I always forget. Not that we need to do the Jubilee, but that just reminds you of, like, I don't remember how it was last year. Do I like it now?
Yeah.
Or did I hate it then? Would I like it now?
Or even something, I mean, I've talked about this before, but doing, especially smaller breweries, trying a seasonal release 1 year and then doing another episode, trying it again the next year and comparing your notes, seeing if you like it as much or if there's variation from year to year, batch to batch.
Yeah, 100%.
That would be hard to remember.
I mean, we would just have to replay the episode, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, or keep your notes.
We just keep a can.
For and a just whole hope year. It doesn't go bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the Whiskey Tribe on YouTube. They've been doing some, or I guess it's on their Whiskey Vault channel. They've been doing some stuff, trying some smaller whiskey releases, like the Johnny Walker, White Walker for Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Something where they're
I heard it was not great.
It's okay. I think it's, I've never tried it. They thought it was okay. But trying it between batches, because, I mean, especially big places like Johnny Walker have to make a lot of something for it to be worth selling.
Yeah.
But when it's a limited release, you might have flavor drift between batches. So they tried one that was like a batch from earlier in the year, and then one that was like most recently released, because they're still making it till they run out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So. So yeah, who wants to go first with their special beer? I think we'll just go. We'll go through and just record this all in one go, and then I'll put the edit in later.
So. I'll open mine and pour it. But why don't you go ahead and?
Yeah, I'll go. I think too, especially since you guys talked without me, since my connection.
Yeah,
it'll be a little break. So once again, Robbie got me the old Rasputin from North Coast Brewing.
Show Carter the label, because he's never seen it.
Oh, how cool. It's got Rasputin on it.
This is a great Russian Imperial Stout.
So, which I'm super excited for you to explain a bit more about an Imperial Stout, or specifically, I don't remember if Russian Imperial Stouts were a bit more different. If you could share a bit as I open this.
Russian Imperial Stouts were the first ones to give the name Imperial Stout. These are not Russian beers. Typically, they were actually beers made in England for the Russian Empire, for the ruling class in Russia. But in order to make the trip, they had to make them higher in alcohol, higher in hops and preservatives, so it could make the trip, especially back in the day when it was...
Man, that is dark.
When it was like a train, you know, or when it was, even when it was like a train or something, you know. It had to be able to survive and still be good when it got to Russia. So, but now, like anything where it's imperial, it just means it's turned up a bit. Higher in alcohol, higher in those hops and, you know, everything. So a Russian imperial stout is just brewed specifically in that style, that English style that would have been sent to Russia. But it's pretty much the same as an Imperial Stout. So it's going to be high in alcohol, high in bitterness. Still typically very balanced, even though everything's turned up.
So North Coast is in California.
Yes.
It says on the bottle, I'm assuming so. Yeah. So as Carter saw from our video, it is a very dark beer. Like, I'm holding it up to the light. And I don't even get like any brown tones through. It's just very dark. It has a nice head to it. Looks like chocolate. I'm excited. I'm gonna have a drink. Ah, it's good. It's kind of warm because I had a drive. But it's so good. It's kind of chocolatey, a bit toffee. Robbie and I did not realize how strong it would be. We also drank a lot. It was us two. So we just drank and talked a lot the last time we had this. I don't remember. I don't know if the ABV on this is 9% on the bottle.
Which is not the highest stout we've had at this point.
Mm-hmm. No, we just had a lot to drink that one time. Six beers with two people.
9%.
Ooh, yeah. Carter. It's just really good. It's, you know, it's pretty rich. It's a full-bodied beer. I think I definitely... From the first time I had it, I loved it, and I that was still, I feel like, pretty early in my beer journey.
It was. You were scared of stouts at the time.
Yeah, I was, it sounds good, but it looks dark and scary. And I was like, what does that mean in your cup? But no, I still love it. I think it's still really good. I highly recommend if you want a stout. This is, I think, always a solid one.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Do they sell this year-round?
Yeah, it's a year-round release, yeah.
Yeah, so you can always have this. Yeah, like it says on the bottle, brewed in the tradition of the 18th century English brewers who supplied the Russian court of Catherine the Great. Old Rasputin develops a cult following wherever it goes. It's a rich, intense brew with a big, complex flavors and a warming finish. Yeah, but it's a pretty, I feel like the flavors of a traditional stout are there. And I think it's just always solid whenever I've had it. It's a picture of an old dude who I've been told Rasputin.
Yes, it's Rasputin.
That is old Rasputin. Bottle,
he was a wizard.
The founder of North Coast. I'm kidding. And it says something in Russian, but I don't know Russian, so.
I'm just showing Carter and Wendy the Robbie head on mine.
Robbie got quite a bit of head on his pour.
It's good. It's good head.
Mine,
Jesus Christ, mine, I'm sorry.
Mine's sticking around. I poured mine a while ago, and it was a little bit bigger, sure. but it's got this lovely little halo that's just kind of sticking around.
Yeah, it looks good.
I've said all I need to say. My comments about Old Rasputin are always just great. Happy.
So I got the La Fin du Monde
from Unibrew.
Unibrew. It's a Belgian style triple ale. It's Canadian.
It is. Oh?
A? Is that what they say?
9% ABVA. Let's see, does it say anything about it?
I'm just putting these in the fridge.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
It's kind of a brilliant, like.
It has golden, really good color to it. I love this beer a lot.
It's kind of reddish. The nose is quite smoky.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which surprised me a little bit. It was smokier than I thought it would be. But not like. Doesn't smell like a sausage. Like sometimes it smells like a smoked sausage.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
What's going on here?
Was it the Live Oak beer, the Grotz?
Yeah, the Grotzki. Grotzki smells like it smells and tastes like a smoked sausage.
Yeah.
This one just has kind of a smoky note.
Spice.
Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a lot of allspice, spice notes. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and try it.
From what I remember, that bottle, it looked like a traditional like European style, like decoration, or
yeah,
it's got I mean, it's a little map of Belgium, I think, on it.
Oh, yeah, La Fin du Monde.
It's
the end of the world, is what that translates to.
Ah, that makes sense.
Oh, I love that. This is delicious. I love this.
It's good. Yeah. What describe a bit of the body?
It's bold. It almost is kind of mold, which I know it's not, but whatever the spices they use in the brewing process, it's got this kind of deep, like it's got like a depth. It's very robust. I think it also because it's a little warm, so I'm picking up a few more of the like flavor notes on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got this lovely little kind of spiced notes. It's a little tangy, not like sour, but a little bit tangy, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It's got that like. The smokiness is really just in the smell. You don't really taste it. So it has that nice effect.
I think it's definitely got like some coriander in there, something that would remind you of smokiness.
Yeah, you're like smelling it, but not tasting it. So it gives it kind of an interesting experience.
What kind of beer did you say it was again?
It's a triple.
It's a Belgian triple, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not really Wendy's nice. Favorite.
I like triples and quads. And so those
you
are
love
hard,
your wheat.
Those are hard to find. I love wheat.
You do.
If I could drink a glass of wheat, then
yeah. But I think the tanginess sounds good.
They strived for that.
I think the tanginess sounds good to have in like all those hops and stuff.
Yeah, it's not super hoppy, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really hoppy or bitter at all. It's very kind of sweet, which is nice. It's almost like candied.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I get some almost like toffee notes.
Mm-hmm.
But Robbie. We're all waiting to see how your mystery delirium is it going to send you into a delirious state?
So it's a Belgian, quite literally Belgian, strong golden ale. The nose on this is super, super malty.
Golden.
Getting all those Belgian-y notes that you like, that everyone enjoys. It smells delicious. I don't, like I said, the head's still sticking around on here.
Wow.
It looks awesome.
It looks, from here, it looks like it has a very pretty color. Pretty,
yeah.
It's got a beautiful color. You can tell it's unfiltered. It's not super clear.
The glass you poured it in makes it literally look like a drop of honey.
It does, yes. I'm drinking it out of a traditional tulip glass.
It is particularly like honey shaded.
It is.
It's, yeah.
I really like the color on it, and this nose is super inviting. I'm getting some fruitiness from it.
It's saying, come in.
It is.
I was about to ask, what is it saying? Oh, la la, Robbie, have me, drink me.
I'm going to go in for the first sip. Oh, that's delightful. So I'm getting, it's very sweet, which I wasn't expecting. I was getting,
it tastes like sugar.
Almost, I mean, it's almost sugary. Like it's
very, that's different.
It's very, very sweet. And not in like a, I mean, I can taste the maltiness, but the malt almost adds like a funkiness that I wasn't expecting. And I enjoy the funkiness of it. I enjoy, but it's very sweet, very fruit forward. The ABV on this is 8.5%, and you can definitely tell it's not, but not in a bad way. If that.
Wait, did you say 8.5?
8.5%. So it's actually.
Wow.
Is it the least of these in terms of
the surprise ones? I don't think in terms of the.
Yeah, not. Yeah, the other one is 4. But you can definitely taste the alcohol in it. So it's strong, which is expected for a Belgian strong ale. You want to taste.
Yeah, any strong ale, you're going to taste it.
Yeah, because I just Googled golden ales, like characteristics, and it says that the strength of golden ales varies from 3.5 to 5.3%. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's, I mean. It's particularly good. I was, I don't know why the bottle's always scared me, because it's gray and like painted gray, I think.
You don't get to see anything.
You don't get to see anything. And I don't, and the pink elephant on here always made me assume that I was just going to pour out like liquid amoxicillin, if you guys remember. That's like the antibiotic you would get as like a kid, the pink goop, which I even liked that stuff. I liked that stuff as a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't want that as a beer. It's very warm.
I don't want my Pepto-flavored beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's got a warming effect to it, for sure. I mean, but at the same time, even though you can tell it's 8.5%, it goes down really smooth, really light. Definitely going to be picking up more of this, they sell it in a big 750 milliliter bottle too, so maybe we'll split it in the future.
But. Yeah, it looks like the Belgian golden ales are normally fruity and complex and pretty approachable to everyone. So I'd love to try it. Yeah,
there's a lot going on in here, and it's weird. When we're not all trying the same beer, to like go it alone and not have the someone else hitting me with the other notes, but.
Someone else hitting you with a
that good podcast. But no, really good, really good. Glad I tried it. I'd been putting it off, like I said, and so glad I've tried it today. That being said, everyone got some liquor too.
Yes. Are we gonna take a quick break?
Yeah, we can take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Give me a second. I'm like burping.
And we're back.
Chug this.
Carter's burping.
I am. Hold on. Bear with me.
Wow, that was so fast. I didn't even. So this is really, I didn't pay attention. Maybe I didn't realize we were all going to get different bottles of liquor or spirits. Which I just remembered as I looked at my bottle.
So yeah,
this is my bottle.
So Carter got the Casamigos mezcal.
That was cute.
Mm-hmm. We're pretty sure it's like you, if you had chalk, you could write on his bottle.
Yeah. It's got this like chalky texture to it.
I got I got myself the Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond 7-year.
Yeah. Nice.
Which I'm really excited
to try. You got me the Maker's Mark number 46.
Yes.
It's a bourbon whiskey, so I'm really excited. I had I should have said this earlier, but this past week, I had some of the TX bourbon that we had on last episode.
Yeah.
And I had it with ice, and it was so good. I had it with just an ice, and it was so good. It was so much better. And I really try it again. It was just, I'm glad I had it again.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, yeah, any kind of bourbon on the rocks is going to taste sometimes completely different from.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Also, when you don't take a drink and breathe in a bunch of air and let it burn your throat, it probably will be much better.
For yeah, sure.
That's what happened to me.
For sure.
That too.
That being said, who wants to start with their liquor? Carter just chugged his Le Fin du Monde. A nice, lovely beer that I've gave him to chug, apparently.
I didn't chug it.
Do you need time to open your beer or your next one? I haven't even opened mine.
I mean, I need to cleanse my palate a bit. So when are y'all
going? Yeah, I should have had water. Yeah. Robbie, you go first.
So I already poured and let mine air out a little bit. So sure, I'll go ahead and start.
Oh, no. I messed up the opening. Oh, no, here we go. I figured it out. I
also have this in my brand new Glencairn glass from Crowded Barrel Whiskey Company here in Austin.
Cool.
Got this as a part of their Black Friday sale. So I love a Glencairn glass for drinking whiskey, especially neat. So we were talking about this. This is a bottled and bond bourbon. It's 7 years old, so it's three extra years onto the required 4 years of a bottled and bond bourbon. It's made by...
From what we learned last episode about bottled and bond, it is made under the Lord's eyes of the government.
Yes. The divine right of the government.
Yes.
So, Heaven Hill is a pretty large distillery from Kentucky. They are the makers of a lot of very famous bourbon brands, including Evan Williams, and Larceny, which we tried Larceny last time. Their bottled and bond used to be one of the best kept secrets in the entire bourbon community until a couple years ago when people found out that it was a complete and total bargain and they took it off. They discontinued it. And then a few years later came back, raised the price significantly and started selling it with a 7-year age statement on it. So this is the first one I've had of the 7-year bottled and bond. So just to get the nose, I can smell the alcohol on it. It's 50% alcohol, 100 proof. But getting lots of, getting lots of cherry on that, which is to be expected. Some cherry, getting a lot of sweetness, a lot of brown sugar.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And we're going to go in for a sip.
Look. Sound effects provided by Wendy Lopez.
So, it's very sweet on the first sip. Very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite caramely, but not so like a cooked sugar, but not quite too caramelized, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe kind of like what you would expect with like a warm glaze on a donut or something. Which is good. But I got a lot of that and then didn't get a ton of fruit forward stuff here on that first sip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is black sweet tea, like sweetened black tea. So not quite to like iced tea, like a sweet tea from like, you know, what you would think of like a, I mean, tons of restaurants serve it, but like, you know, not quite to like Whataburger's newest recipe of sweet tea. But like if you had a, like an English breakfast tea or something, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like a hot tea with sugar in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like specifically a black tea.
And, okay. That's interesting. I feel like that's not something that you normally hear,
but it's
like a flavor in a bourbon.
And I think I get that because of the sugar. Like I think it,
yeah.
So I think there's some, and I don't know the mash bill on this at all. I should have looked that up, but if it's higher in rye, I wouldn't be surprised. Cause we got some of that herbal stuff in the higher rye, the Wild Turkey 101 last time. You get some of the herbally stuff, and I think if you get to a certain amount of rye, that herbal starts to become like a tea or something. But it's not getting into any bitter territory like a tea. Like it is very much a tea with like, you know, that you, you know, if you're trying to like get your kid to suck down some tea or something, you put a little too much sugar in it, you know. It's really good. I'll definitely be drinking it again. Which does bring me to the fact that I have been putting a splash of Old Tub in Irish breakfast tea as a little late night treat. So I highly recommend that if you get if you have some Old Tub on you. But
that sounds tasty.
I'd be curious to try it. I normally just pour whiskey in my coffee and call it an Irish coffee. So
that's practically what I did. I'm just more of a tea guy than a coffee guy. That being said, yeah, definitely glad I picked this bottle up. Thanks to Oak Liquor Cabinet for keeping it behind the register instead of just letting it sit out on the shelf because it would have disappeared. I swear to God, I've been looking for this whiskey for a while because I've wanted to try it. And I think this may have been the last bottle in Austin, at least when I bought it. Like it's, it was that cool. Like I was that lucky to stumble upon it. So definitely next time, probably after the holidays, if any of you, if either of you come over, I'll pour you guys a glass.
Awesome.
Sounds good.
That or the 1792 full proof, the barrel pick from Total Wine is also, I've heard is fantastic. Just talking to people about it. Last time I was in a Total Wine, actually second to last time I was in a Total Wine. So the time before I went and bought everything for this episode, got to talking to a guy, who was in the bourbon section as well as a associate from the store. And we were just chatting about bourbon for a while. It was really cool. So
cool.
Yeah. And they can also point you in the direction of some good shit. So
yeah.
Check it out.
I remember the last time I was at a Total Wine was with Robbie, and it was great because Robbie was reading different beers, and I love to just read the beer sometimes. So it's really, it was nice to have someone else there and not be alone.
Yeah. So who wants to go next? Who wants to drink their liquor next?
I got mine poured.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
She's crystal clear. Ooh,
you
clear.
Have a cute glass.
She is crystal clear. I do you. Like that glass.
Fancy
good,
glass.
It's a pretty good glass for nosing too. For without.
Yeah. It's a whiskey glass.
Yeah.
Though I use it for port, but whatever.
It works.
I don't have actual cordial glasses, so this was the closest. But yeah, it's a mezcal, so it's gonna be smoky.
Mezcal.
And it's definitely got the smoky notes. Got a little bit of a leather note, not like I don't feel like I'm sniffing a shoe, like some things, but it definitely has that kind of smoky, leathery note to it. The smoke, like I said, is not overpowering. We're going to go ahead and try it now.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear.
Glug, 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 glug.
Because the goal of Casamigos is to be very smooth.
But, I mean, it's pretty solid tequila.
Yeah.
So.
But mezcal is not always the smoothest, you know, because it's got that smokiness, because it's got a high burn.
Such a pronounced smokiness to it.
This is incredibly smooth.
Oh my God. I'm so excited to try this one.
It's like silky smooth. It's very good. The smokiness is not overpowering. This is by far, I think, the tamest mezcal I've ever had. It was. Mm-hmm. It's not too smoky. It's not too spicy. I don't want to say it's muted, but it's definitely mm-hmm. not like in your face. But you still pick up the flavors. There's a sweetness. You get the agave notes in there a little bit.
So kind of a sipping mezcal instead of like one you would mix with, because it's it's not muted. You're right. Muted is not the right term. But like you don't want to cover up. Like if you start making drinks, cocktails, you would start covering up the flavors. Mm-hmm.
I feel like you would start covering it up if you mix too much stuff in it. Mm-hmm. The burn was almost non-existent, which was weird. I thought there was almost no burn. Let's see, I'll try it again.
Well, that's so. I don't know if you know this. If either of you know this on the top of your head, because I know in Mexico. It's kind of traditional when you drink your tequila, you don't shoot it, you just sip it, you just drink it. Mm-hmm. Is that the same for mezcal?
Oh, it's definitely not. I've never heard people that like take shots of mezcal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I never hear of people taking shots of mezcal, but I also don't hear of people sipping it that often either. I hear of mm-hmm. a lot of like mixing, I hear of it being a really good like cocktail ingredient.
Oh, a lot of people, a lot of people use it in cocktails. I mean, I've heard of people sipping it, and they're mezcal bars that, like, their whole thing is...
That's a good point.
All they do is mezcal.
One of the secret bars in Austin is a mezcal bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard,
It, honestly, when you take a sip, it's like you're walking into a, like, men's boutique, like a rustic men's boutique store.
Oh, okay.
Where you're, like, you feel like there's, like... You walk in and the lights are somewhat dimmed and, you know, everything is in like raw denim mm-hmm. and there are like custom plaids on the wall and, you know, you're like, ooh, I feel like, you know, all the manly scented candles, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of what it tastes like is it's kind of like, I'm trying to think, what's the one on South what's the one on South Congress next to Home Slice?
Oh, Stag Provisions?
Stag, yes. It's a bit like if you walk in there.
Yeah.
That's kind of what sipping this.
There's that, and then there's like the, it's not the Stetson store across the street, because that's also cool. Mm-hmm. There's a hat store by where Botticelli's used to be on South Congress, kind of towards the Continental Club. Mm-hmm. There used mm-hmm. to be a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store there, but now it's like a parking lot. But yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Well,
oh yeah, it's delicious.
It's funny though. It's like, cause mezcal I think is becoming like the rugged man's tequila, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so you know, brand wise mm-hmm. with, the Casamigos brand, mm-hmm. to, you know, hear it mm-hmm. be described the way Carter's mm-hmm. talking about it. It very much makes sense to have that.
Yeah.
That,
and now we just need to try the Bryan Cranston one.
Yeah. Oh, we got to try the Rocks, ooh, too.
And see. Oh, yeah. I've heard the Rocks is garbage.
I don't know,
but man. We still got to try it. That could be an episode, Celebrity Alcohol.
I mean, we can try,
Bob Reynolds, gin.
Yeah.
Nick Jonas is it a vodka or a tequila?
It's a tequila.
We can do the Long Branch, McConaughey's mm-hmm. Wild Turkey. Ooh.
McConaughey's Wild Turkey. That. Bob Dylan has a Tennessee bourbon that we'll mm-hmm. try. We could try.
I would. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to get some Pursued by Bear, which is Kyle MacLachlan's
his wine
label. He only releases a select number of bottles a year.
And even fewer get to Texas.
Yeah, but they're extremely, because they're all Oregon based. So it's very highly rated, and he only does a mm-hmm. few bottles a year, but it's very difficult to get, and it's also, like, kind of expensive for, like, three bottles of wine.
Yeah. Well, his thing is almost like what Casamigos claims they are. It's really Kyle MacLachlan's private label that he allows, you know, he lets some of the bottles from the barrels go out to the public instead of,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not, mm-hmm. it's not a true money-making venture, it's...
Yeah, and that's why I think mm-hmm. it's kind of... I mean, most celebrity spirits are money grabs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while you'll get one where they've actually, you know, kind of taken the time to.
Yeah. Which is why I think
evaluate it. Because I've heard the Long Branch is good.
Long Branch is pretty good.
McConaughey like took time to actually craft like with the.
Yeah. He worked with
the Wild Turkey guy, with the Wild Turkey guys.
Yeah. I can't think of his Robert Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Of Wild Turkey. Let me see if I'm right about that.
The mezcal also, I'm picking this up on the aftertaste. It has a very subtle, like peppery, which, you know, pepper is a very common flavor in mezcal anyway. Mm-hmm. But sorry. I was distracted that it wasn't there, but it's definitely kind of there. It's just much more subtle. And then there's like mm-hmm. a subtle tobacco note as well.
Mm. But yes. Sorry. Jimmy and Eddie Russell are the Russells of Wild Turkey. But yes, McConaughey worked closely with them to make the Long Branch blend. And it's got some Texas mesquite in there, I think, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be interesting to try. And he really, what he did was craft a flavor profile that they're replicating mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. I don't know if, I mean, Randy Gerber and George Clooney claim that they test every batch of Casamigos.
Well, George Clooney doesn't do it anymore since he sold it.
Randy Gerber's still involved, though. He's the
yeah.
I don't know what the, but we'll
Clooney,
see.
Yeah. Clooney was kind of hands off once they sold it because I know their quality control was yeah. not great. It's gotten better now, but once they sold yeah. it, yeah, the quality control was not great.
Yeah, once they sold it and they took the pictures in the fields with the workers mm-hmm. for the marketing, and then. But anyway, Wendy, you have an exciting bottle to try. Hold it up so Carter yes. can see it. Because Carter couldn't see
so,
it.
So, I just want to apologize. Robbie got me the Maker's Mark Stave Pro Life Profile number 46. Sorry.
The Stave Pro Life?
Oh, my.
So, that's Maker's cool. 46. I apologize.
It looks like a Maker's bottle with the wax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was going to say, the iconic wax, I messed up so bad when opening it. I like started peeling some of the wax on the side of the neck.
It happens.
Which sucks because I like seeing the wax on the bottles.
Wendy, do you still have your flask from the Edgefest from like?
I think I tossed it 2 years ago.
Wendy.
They did those themselves.
I know, but I was saying you could put your makers in your flask, but you don't have the flask anymore.
I'll check if I have it. Anyway,
you have a maker's flask. You put the makers in your maker's flask.
Shut up. It's my time now. It's my time. Wendy's time. A bit about this maker's mark. So it's different than the traditional whiskey that we know. It's aged, so it's not just like barrel aged and finished. It's, or not barrel, afterwards it's finished. And it says 10 French oak staves, which I looked up what French oak staves were. I was curious, and it seems, hold on, I had it. So oak staves are large planks or thick sticks of oak that are added to wine juice and steel barrels before or after fermentation to deliver the oak characteristics to the wine. So, except I wanted to know what was the difference between the barreling versus the alternatives. Robbie, do you know?
So I have the whole story for this bourbon here.
Perfect. Please share. I would love to know.
So this is, so first of all, makers wanted to do something different. They've been making their same bourbon for a long time. It's a wheated bourbon.
Yeah.
But they finally convinced their master distiller to do something different, but they didn't want to finish mm-hmm. it in like a port barrel or something. You know, lots of people are doing port barrel, mm-hmm. barrel finishes and other stuff like that. So they decided mm-hmm. what they were going to do is they essentially made custom barrels to age the spirit. So those staves are.
Oh, this whiskey.
Yeah. So the staves are French oak staves. So it's all still counts as a bourbon. It's still all new charred oak. So it's all still legally.
But it's French wood instead of American, right?
Yeah. But it still counts as a bourbon. It still fits all the legal requirements of it. But the reason it's called Maker's 46 is they were trying a bunch of different stuff, and then when they finally came up with this barrel design, the company that makes barrels for pretty much every distiller, they were like, this exact char with these staves, this combination. They were adding staves to like a regular oak barrel. So they were removing some and putting on new ones, and they were fixing the ratio of French oak staves to American oak staves to bourbon. Like, it's
interesting. You know.
And so when they finally figured out what they liked, the barrel manufacturer was like, all right, this is going to be called Maker's 46 Barrels, is what, you know, so that they could put it in the order and know exactly what they were making. And so Maker's was like, that's great, good name, and just kept it. So it's not like,
well,
the 46 has no real, you know,
relation
to anything. I don't know if it's the 46th one they tried or anything like, but it's just, it is literally the name of the barrel that they use. So
yeah,
if you, cool. I don't know if they have like a patent on it or something, but I think in theory you could order a Maker's 46 barrel and age your own bourbon in it, you know. I don't know that for sure.
That's cool.
So I don't know if that's exactly what you can do, or if, you know, in 10 years you'll be able to do it or something like that. But so this should, it gives it a unique flavor, and I think it's probably the most unique in the Maker's lineup, because everything else in the Maker's lineup is really just proofed up or proofed down of their normal whiskey.
Well, I totally agree with that. So having mine, look at my little glass.
Oh, that's a good glass.
Tequila. What is it called? El Mayor. It's the ones I took from the office. I don't know since when. I took them like maybe a year or two ago. But yeah, I like agree. Even like in just the nose, like you could taste the spice, the kick of the bourbon, the bite of it, but it's a bit more subtle. So that's definitely interesting. I'll have a sip.
Who has the cops after them?
I think it was me. This is good. It's like, I'm going to have more. Ooh, my bad. But like last time when we, it's funny, I'd love to compare my reactions, because this one, it's definitely warm in the aftertaste. But on the first sip, like you get that like the soft toffee. It's smooth. A bit of like, not very like bold, like, you know, normally in like bourbon and like whiskeys, you get like vanilla and caramel and stuff, and they're normally pretty noticeable. But I think this has more of a, what is it? Is it leather? It tastes a bit like, not leathery, but it has a bit more of this non-sweet flavors, which, but it's like, it's really good. Like, it's pretty smooth.
Yeah. I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely going to have, I think it's got some spice to it when I've tried it. It's got a little more spice than it definitely you would has. Think of. But it's also still got a lot of vanilla, and it's still pretty balanced in like the richness and the sweetness.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely agree. Like, I'm this one, if we had had this on our last episode, I would definitely, I mean, we also didn't do like special finishes, but I like it a lot because it does have that spice, but there's like the bite on this, it's not that strong at all, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I don't remember the bite being that strong on it when I tried it.
Yeah. I'm just enjoying it. Like, I can drink this and it's really good. I think it definitely has a bit more of like a leather, a non-sweeter taste to it than than like the blended whiskeys or the drinks that I like to have. But it's good. I like it. Like,
to compare it to something Carter's had, I would say it's a little less fruity than the Weller Special Reserve is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But still kind of in the same ballpark.
Yeah. That sounds like something I'd like.
Yeah, I feel like I mean, that's why I got you guys the 375 milliliters instead of like airplane bottles. In theory, one day we can all try these together.
Right. Yeah, but I like it a lot. Like, the nose again was a bit more sweeter the second time, but it's like these flavors are a bit more like subtle or not. Yeah, I think this tastes a bit more like smokier than a regular whiskey. But I like that. I feel like I've normally been turned off or like afraid of like something with a bit more of a leathery taste to it. And this one actually is pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. Like Robbie said, the sweetness is balanced in this. Like, it's not, I think it helps make that the leather,
it's not too terrible, sweet for the body, like, that it has, which is a problem a lot of bourbons can have.
Yeah. The color is a beautiful, candy-ish, like toffee.
Yeah. It's got a really good color to it.
Yeah. It does have a nice color.
Yeah. Like a dark gold or toffee.
It looks a little lighter. I think it's just 'cause there's not much in your glass.
Yeah. Well, from what I see and from the bottle. Yeah.
Yeah. The bottle's
dark. Well, the bottle makes it look red. Yeah. But I like this. I like this a lot, Robbie, especially because I like having like the straight bourbons last week, or not last week, last show. I thought, I was like, man, I'm going to have a lot more bourbon to get used to some of these flavors or like the bites. Cause I normally will have something blended or I'll have something, you know, finished or in a cocktail or with ice. Mm-hmm. But this, I'm having this alone, no ice, no water. And I'm enjoying it a lot. So. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being so thoughtful.
I think the, what's the percentage on that? Is it 40? It's like 46, 47.
Yeah, it's 47. It's a 94 proof.
So yeah, so not terribly mm-hmm. high proof, but mm-hmm. also not, you know, not a wimpy bourbon by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I've actually poured myself another glass of the Heaven Hill.
Yeah. But the warmness, I welcome, that's like how I feel about it. When I go in for another sip is that I'm welcoming more warmth to myself, which I like that. I like that feeling. Yeah, the bottle says, for Maker's Mark 46, we start with fully aged Maker's Mark, add 10 seared French oak staves to the barrel and place it in our limestone cellar for an extra aging process. This creates a bolder version of Maker's Mark with pronounced notes of caramel and vanilla and has become known as a stave profile number 46. Enjoy.
Yes.
So yeah, like you said, it does have that sweetness. But I feel like it's just really well balanced, and I like the burn on this.
Yeah. I mean, and you're also probably getting more used to bourbon, you know?
Dad, I'm growing up.
When I mean, quite literally, and when I started, you know, really drinking whiskey neat earlier this year, mm-hmm. really, you know, I used to be a whiskey on the rocks or mix it guy, decided to start trying more. And I mean, it took me, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks of just drinking a lot of bottled and bond stuff, Old Tub, mm-hmm. Mellow Corn too, and mm-hmm. Wild Turkey 101. And now, you know, I try something that's like, you know, 43%, whether it's a scotch or a bourbon, and like, mm-hmm. I don't feel the burn as much, and it really helps me appreciate the flavor. So like, I would say the more you can appreciate and get past the burn of higher proof stuff, you don't have to be like, knocking it down, no problem. But like, once you feel like mm-hmm. you can handle, you know,
yeah, it's all about acquiring the taste.
Yeah, it's about
acclimating. That's definitely something with like all drinks. Like, especially mm-hmm. like, I remember when I first started drinking beer, I was like, this just tastes like hoppy water, not knowing. But once you get past those like things, so like once you get past all the hops, mm-hmm. or once you get past like the burn of like just of the spirits alone, is that you get to like actually like savor the other flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah. All and right. Wine is the same way too. It's one of those where it's like mm-hmm. a lot of people will be like, oh, I don't like red wine. It's too, you know, too dry or too bitter, or, you know, this, mm-hmm. that, or the other. It's like, you just either haven't had enough or you haven't had the right one.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is, I don't know if you said it already, but this is our last episode of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't get to do a ton of episodes this year. I don't think we got to do as much as we wanted to, for sure. But thank you to everyone.
We could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike some of our other shows.
You know, we're working on it. We're working on it.
We promise there will be an ending for Film Fracas. It won't.
Even if it's a single special. Even if it's a.
Yeah. Even if it's a special, there'll be a finale.
Are we saying words? Are we saying words? A toast?
Oh, we can toast. I've got.
Yeah.
Well, because I'd love to say something. You know how I am. I love being sentimental and sharing feelings.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Share your feelings, Wendy.
Gosh, I'm going to try to do this without crying. I can't help but cry anytime feelings come up. But I just want to say thank you both for being my friends. Thank you both for doing this podcast, like the three of us together. I've learned a lot. I should have said this maybe on our year anniversary. I don't know. But
I love being able to share. We didn't quite get to our year anniversary was the issue.
Sure. But I love sharing a glass with you guys of anything. I've learned a lot. And I just always have a good time with you guys. You know, Robbie, thank you so much for always like organizing and being such a huge promoter and obviously fan. Like, you know, you made the show. And so it's really great that you're also the number one fan of the show because you keep it alive. And I'm glad that you brought us along on this journey.
It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. We're saying this like it's over. We're coming back in January. We just aren't doing two episodes this month.
I know, but it's the holidays. You know how we get with the holidays and sentimental. I mean, also, I guess maybe
it's good to talk about how much we appreciate each other.
Yeah. You know, it's been really hard, you know, and like, as we said earlier, the show, we're doing this remote right now. Robbie's the one who came up with like how to do it. The last time we did an episode in the middle of earlier in the pandemic, the first one, it was remote, and Robbie also figured it out. Robbie got us these, like, Robbie puts his heart and soul into, like, everything that he does, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful that I'm a part of this, you know, a small piece of what he does.
Well, thank you. Everyone do their plugs real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, Carter, hit us with those plugs.
I'm also thankful for you, Robbie. Oh, Merry Christmas. I'm thankful for you.
Oh, Carter, you want to share some feelings now?
Carter yes. feels that you can Sorry. Find him at CA Spilliards. On-
yes, I feel like you can find me on Twitter at CA Spilliards, like spill something in your yard and NS. Listen to Film Fracas. We've got plenty of episodes to catch up on. The finale is coming any day now. any day now it'll drop. You'll see.
We'll record You'll it any see. Day now.
You'll all see. We'll get there. Do we even watch movies anymore? Is that a thing? Well, now everyone's going to be able to
we all watch.
Everyone's going to be able to watch them from home so many now. Movies. Everyone can watch them from home.
Everyone get ready for Quibi mm-hmm. Quest.
Quibi. That's the next show.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Quibi. Actually, don't rest in peace. It was a terrible idea to begin with. I'm glad it's gone.
Ooh.
Not glad all those people are out of a job, but it was a terrible idea mm-hmm. to begin with.
Good point.
But yeah, follow me on my socials at CA Spilliards on Twitter and Letterboxd, and I think Carter_Spilliards on Instagram. Yeah, listen to Tapheads, listen to Film Fracas, listen to Mayhem Moments, even though I'm not on it. It's a good show.
Thank you.
Cool.
Wendy, where can everyone find you?
Hi, you can find me at Wendy with the W on all my social media channels. I've gotten back on Bumble and dating apps if you'd like to find me.
I did that the other day and then went, no, thank you.
We'll see how it goes.
I was on for one day and said, I'm good.
But yeah, you can find me on social media. 2020 year resolution. I'm going to try to start a podcast. We'll see how that goes.
Whoa.
I know you guys haven't, I haven't asked you guys yet, but I'll eventually have you on the show. We'll see how that goes.
I would love to be a guest on your podcast, Wendy. Yes,
absolutely.
We'll see how it is.
I learned today that the, you know what, pounds, like we abbreviated LBS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what LBS stands for?
No.
Long butt sucks. What?
Oh, like the scales.
Like the scales. Like little,
it's also Libra. So
it's Libras.
Well, Libra is pound in Spanish.
And I was like, I'm a Libra.
Of course.
And so I was like, the stars are why I'm fat. It all makes sense now.
I mean, it's the same in Spanish. It means pound in Spanish. Probably Latin.
yeah, it is probably Latin.
Wait, real quick. I also want to share something I learned today.
I learned
that Idaho is not in the Midwest. I learned it's next to Oregon and Washington.
It is.
You learned some geography today?
I learned a lot today, actually, but we don't have time for that.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter.
What else you learned?
I learned that sharks can sometimes be found in rivers. I learned the names of the five Great Lakes. I forgot them. I learned.
I just learned a lot. I knew them, but then I forgot. They were lost to the wind.
Doesn't mean she didn't learn them.
Exactly.
I don't think that the school system completely failed me, but I did have to relearn that today.
I don't think it failed you at all. You've got a college degree.
It did all it could.
Robbie, sorry.
You can find me on Twitter at Robbie DeShazer. You can find me on Twitch at Robbie DeShazer with an underscore at the end. Go listen to all the shows. Film Fracas, Mania Moments, this show, listen to the rest of the episodes. We have a website for our company, 5208media.com. It's 5208media.com. Those are just the links to all of our shows.
We don't have any merch for this show, do we?
No, not yet. Okay. Not yet. Maybe if it's
one day.
Maybe if we get our listenership up, we'll work on it.
If we could do glasses, I don't know.
I just don't know how to order those in a large enough quantity that, like, it's worth, you know.
No. Exactly.
We also have to sell them. That means they would just sit somewhere.
Yeah. It's not like a T Public or something where you can they'll print the t-shirts on demand. I will say this, you know, as always, please drink responsibly. You know.
Also, please, as this is coming out in the holidays, this will be what, 2 weeks before Christmas or 1 week before Christmas?
1 week before Christmas? 2 weeks.
Before 1 week before Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Regardless, before Christmas.
Or 1 week. So 1 week before Christmas.
Yeah, so please be smart about your holiday gatherings.
Yes, please. We don't want to do another 6 months in quarantine just because so we can't get our stuff together.
We realize the vaccine is coming, but it's not here yet, so
yes. Just
everyone be smart, be safe.
Drink responsibly.
Enjoy your holidays. Drink responsibly.
Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas,
Happy New Year.
I don't know what other holiday. Happy New Year.
I have a toast for us to end with.
Wish I had a slice of toast.
I'll say, here's to fighting, stealing, and drinking. If you fight, may you fight for a friend. If you steal, may you steal your lover's heart. And if you drink, may you drink with us. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cute.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tap Heads. Make sure to give the show a 5-star rating wherever it is that you're listening. It really does help the show out. If you want to help buy us a beer, you can by going to anchor.fm/tapheads and click support this podcast. We love the support from our fans and we will be eternally grateful to you. You can always follow the show on Twitter @tapheadshow. And finally, remember to always drink responsibly. Thanks for listening and we'll be back with a new episode soon. Media.